Grace. Happy New Year, Vancouver PG. Well, I thought I was the only one here. But good response, wonderful. And grace and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It's right that we came into the house of the Lord this morning on the very first Sunday of 2018 to worship Him. And may our life throughout this year be a worshipful life, pleasing the Lord, serving Him all the way for 360 days or 57 days, because 7 days have gone by. Okay, but anyway, 4 years ago, I went on a sabbatical leave for 4 months. And my wife and I did many things together during that period, visiting churches, seminaries, and even missionaries in East Asia. We also spent quite a bit of time praying, studying scripture, meditating, and reading. Now, one of the books that I read was called I Am a Follower. I Am a Follower. Leonard Swede, the author, he points out that when Jesus was carrying out his earthly ministry, he didn't recruit leaders for his ministry. He didn't go to the local synagogue and announce that he was accepting resumes and interviewing potential leaders. Now, he didn't do that. And Jesus was not looking for leaders at all. He was looking for followers. When he was giving his last command, that is the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples. Jesus Christ didn't say, go and make leaders. Before people become leaders, they must be disciples. And disciples are followers of Jesus Christ. Followers are more than believers. As you and I know, the devil and the demons, they believe in Jesus. But they don't want to have a relationship with Jesus. They don't want to follow Jesus. Now come and follow me. Come follow me. Now these are the first words Jesus' disciples heard. Also, these are the first and last words Jesus spoke to Peter. Now, what does it mean by come, follow me? Let us focus on the passage that Grace read for us this morning. This is a familiar story to many of us. May the Holy Spirit open our eyes, give us fresh eyes to see, unclog our ears, clear our earwax, so that we can really understand the truth of this passage. At the beginning of the passage, we see Jesus Christ approaching two pairs of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This is probably not the first time these guys met Jesus. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1, gives us the initial picture of the encounter with Jesus. So on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, it may be the second or the third time that these guys interacted with Jesus. When Jesus sees them, he says to them, come, follow me. Literally, it means come after me. Now, what does it mean to follow Jesus? First of all, it means thoroughly and completely leaving behind everything for the sake of Jesus. To understand this, let's look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is repeated over and over again through the ministry, through the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, this is the main message of Jesus' public ministry from the outset. It is not, you know, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's not a geographical location like the United Kingdom. Rather, it pictures the rule and the reign and the dominion and the authority of God. Wherever his rule and reign are acknowledged and submitted to, obeyed, there we see a picture of the kingdom of God. That is what we see throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Now, how do we thoroughly and completely leave behind everything for the sake of God's kingdom and his rule and his reign? Well, according to the Gospel of Matthew, it's always accompanied by great cost. It's always accompanied by great sacrifice for Jesus the King. Now, let's look at some examples. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus uses many parables to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Now, in these two parables, Jesus talks about what we would do, what we would give to be a part of his kingdom. And true, we enter the kingdom of God only by grace through faith in Jesus. But genuine faith means genuinely embracing and yielding to God's rule and reign. Now, in other words, being a citizen of in God's kingdom is not in name only, but also in practice. We should live out God's rule and reign in our everyday life. The kingdom is a treasure, and those who really believe it will sacrifice everything else in their lives in order to get it, in order to obtain it. Christians who desire worldly wealth and status and all these things in the world don't really care much about God's kingdom must reconsider their relationship with Jesus Christ, their relationship to God, and the true state of their soul. The kingdom of God is worth selling everything that we have, God, in order to get it. That is, to leave everything behind for the sake of Jesus the King. Now, let us look at another example, a practical example of what it means to leave behind everything. I want to show you this in Matthew chapter 19. There is a story known as the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had great wealth, many possessions, and one day he came up to Jesus and asked Jesus how he could have eternal life, that is, how he could enter the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, immediately hearing this a request from Jesus, the Bible says this about the young man. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The rich young ruler went away sad because he was not willing to give away everything for God. He let his possessions get between him and God. Now, for sure, we enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But genuine faith means genuinely embracing and yielding to God's rule and reign in our everyday life. And the rich young ruler wasn't ready to do so. Now, what Jesus Christ is teaching us here is that to follow him wholeheartedly, we have to leave behind all things. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, we see this happen. We see this take place. And what were Peter and Andrew, James and John leaving behind? Many times we think of these two pairs of fishermen brothers, we think of them as very poor people. Well, they certainly were not incredibly wealthy, but as we can see in the passage and in the gospel records, they did have a solid business as fishermen. They had property, they had boats, they had skills as fishermen, and James and John even had workers working for them. Now, these guys had what they needed to carry out a decent business. They weren't well off, but they had a lot to lose when it came to leaving behind everything. They were leaving behind all that was familiar to them. They were leaving behind all that was comfortable to them. And they were leaving behind all that was natural for them. They've been fishermen for many years. Now, these guys were completely leaving behind their profession as fishermen and became committed lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. It was a radical reorientation of their way of life. Now, what would that look like for us to leave behind our entire way of living to a completely different way of living because Jesus Christ calls us to follow him? Now, Peter and Andrew, James and John, have got a lot to show us in a modern world today. We cannot be a true follower of Jesus and love our possessions, our house, our SUVs, our music, our Apple or our Samsung gadgets, more than Jesus. We cannot be a true follower of Jesus and hold on to any comfort, career, position, etc. in this world. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to abandon all these things? How does this look like practically? Well, Jesus may not call all of us to leave our possessions this week, every single thing we own. He may not call us to leave our profession this week and what we have built our whole life. But what he is showing us here in Matthew chapter 4 is that he wants us to hold so loosely to all those things in our lives. So loosely to all those things in our lives. But instead, he wants us to grip and cling on to him, the King of his kingdom, the King of this creation. He wants us to cling so tightly to him and to the glory of his kingdom. And we live every single day for that. Whether we are a housewife, whether we are a retiree, whether we are a professional, whether we are a student, whether we are a church leader, whether we are just a member in the church. And if that means we let go of all these possessions, all these things that we own in this world, we are glad to do it because we are embracing Christ with all of our heart. Now, over the course of my sabbatical leave, I have plenty of time, plenty of opportunity for personal reflection. A part of the reflection touched on my possessions. In my devotions one morning with my wife, the Holy Spirit directed my thought to Jesus' teaching concerning wealth. And you are familiar with this verse. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I've learned this verse since I became a Christian many years ago when I was still in elementary school. But that morning, I had a renewed appreciation for the teaching of this verse. The Holy Spirit was urging me to pay more attention to God and His work in this kingdom rather than what little I possessed. I am by no means rich, but you know, I have my human weakness. Sometimes I like to spend more time on what I own, do things with what I own. But God tells me I should change my direction. I should refocus on things that He wants me to do. And the morning devotion ended with another famous saying of Jesus. And I invite you to read it together with me, all right? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, this is another well-known verse. Now, the mother of James Hudson Taylor III, that is the grandson of James Hudson Taylor, the mother of James Hudson Taylor III interpreted this verse, Jesus' teaching, in this way. She said, if you care for God's business, God will take care of your business. I say this again. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. Our culture today is a very self-centered culture. Everything is about promoting self, protecting self, preserving self, and taking care of self. And Jesus says to us, come, follow me. Hold loosely to your comfort. Hold loosely to your career. Hold loosely to your possessions, etc., etc. Come after me for my sake. And He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? You know, VPGC, are we getting a glimpse? Are we getting a glimpse here of what it means to follow Jesus? It's not about comfort. It's not about fortune. It's not about fame. It's about being a committed follower of Jesus. It's about exalting Christ. It's about living out God's rule and reign in our everyday life. And what happens when we truly love God with all our heart, mind, and soul? What happens when we change from self-centered to Christ-centered? What happens? Well, if that is what we are able to do, we'll be able to say, God, whatever you have me do, glorify your name and glorify your kingdom. Now, some of us may be thinking, well, I can be a Christian, forgiven of all my sins because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. And I can live and enjoy the pleasures of this life. And I know I am guaranteed to enjoy the pleasures of eternal life. And so why would I want to be a committed lifelong follower of Jesus Christ? You know, Christians are not expected to do that, right? Why would I want to hold loosely to my comfort, my career, and my possessions? I'm not expected to do that, right? Well, I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I believe you are, and I am too. We are all expected to do all that. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have told his disciples, come, follow me. Jesus wants each of us to follow him genuinely and wholeheartedly. He wants each of us to be his disciples, his lifelong committed disciples. Leonard Sweet points out in his book that as we study the four Gospels, we notice that there are mainly three types of followers of Jesus. The first type, he calls them the casual listeners. They are people who are in the crowds following Jesus, listening to him, listening to what he is saying. And then the next type is called the convinced listeners. They are not just casually listening. There is some buy-in there. They say, I'm embracing what Jesus is teaching, what Jesus is saying. I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And then there is the third type, the committed lifelong learners and followers of Jesus. Now, this group of followers, they acknowledge and submit to God's rule and reign in their lives. In Jesus' day, the greatest number of followers fell into the first two categories, either casual or convinced listeners. But when it comes to the third category, the committed lifelong learners and followers, the number dropped dramatically. Now, for example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, all it says is that after Jesus left this earth, ascended into heaven, there were only 120 people that were left. Now, thousands had followed Jesus while he was here on earth, but only 120 people were actually doing what Jesus told them to do, to be committed lifelong followers and learners of him. Now, however, because of this small group of people, they were willing to commit themselves, the world was turned upside down. And we are still feeling the effect today. Now, VPGC, which type of follower are you? A lot of Christians in today's church culture say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is what he says he is. They are content to go on living the Christian life as a convenient, as a convinced listener. They rarely think about the meaning of Jesus' calling. Come, follow me. They say being a lifelong committed follower of Jesus Christ is reserved for the super Christians. So it's possible to be a Christian and have absolutely no progress in their lives. And this unsatisfactory situation is reflected in the stagnancy, in the spiritual weakness of the church as a whole. You know, the need in the church today is not more money, it's not a bigger place. The need in the church today is not more education, it's not more training. The need in the church today is not more people, it's not even more leaders. The greatest need in the church today is more believers of Jesus Christ to rise up and be the committed lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. And when we are willing to do that, as Jesus Christ has told us, just wait and see what he will do for us here at VPGC and around the world. You know, Jesus wants us to live purposefully for him. He wants us to live to make his kingdom and his glory known in our everyday life. The purpose of our salvation is not just for us to go to heaven. It's not just for us to enjoy the grace or the mercy of eternal life. The purpose of our salvation is to show the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ to all the world, to all the people around us. Imagine what would happen if we all did that. In my reflection over the sabbatical, I often thought about the way God wanted me to serve him for the rest of my life. Time and again, Jesus said to me, "You did not choose me," Jesus said. "I chose you. Come, follow me." I got it. Jesus wants me to acknowledge and submit to him as my one and only leader, as my one and only Lord, as my one and only God. He has chosen me first to be his follower, and second, to be his servant. And when I follow him, he will lead and use me for his glory and for his kingdom and for the salvation of people who still don't know him yet. Now, only 120 out of thousands heeded Jesus' call to follow him. Now, we have no idea who these people were, except for the apostles or a handful of women. I'm sure most of these 120 people were ordinary people like you and me. Not all of them were leaders, but all of them were committed lifelong followers of Jesus. They were willing to put into practice what Jesus taught them. They were willing to submit themselves to God's reign and rule. They were willing to live a Christ-centered life. And because they were willing to do that, God used them to change human history. The impact is still palpable today. Imagine what would happen if we all did here in VPGC what the 120 people did, committing our lives to Jesus, committing to be lifelong followers of Jesus Christ, living a Christ-centered life. Just imagine what would happen. You know, it's not fantasy. It's not just any kind of hearsay story. We got it in the Bible, in the Gospels. 120 people changed the entire history of humanity. You know, Jesus Christ knows that we cannot do it on our own. And so he asked the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come. Every year we celebrate the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come. He is here for us to depend on, to work with, to be our co-worker in God's ministry, in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ knows that we need the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses here in Vancouver East and beyond. Now, at the beginning of 2018, another new year, Jesus Christ is saying to you, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. What say you, VPGC? What is your response? As you guys know well, the theme of this year for your church is witnesses for Christ, or Christ witnesses. And I just hope that this message this morning will help you to think, to reflect on, and put into action what Jesus Christ has taught you and called you to do. He is saying to us this morning, come, follow me. Are you willing? Amen. And let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for coming into this.